And what I would ask or imagine because of God's power which dwells within me, it's attainable. That category relevance is the same for Christians. What you value drastically shifts if you are a man or a woman who chooses to follow Jesus. What becomes relevant to you changes. What used to matter so much, and I'll tell you some of the things that used to matter before Christ were, what do other people think of me? I mean, it's so sad, but so many people never plan anything good because they're too afraid of what others will think of them. Do you know that? Do you understand how much good and potential beauty is squandered because people who should know better are too concerned about what others might think of them? Who cares? That's not relevant. For the Christian, what's relevant now is, okay, if God himself is here calling me and moving me, what might I imagine for this year? What can I hope for? What should I aim at? And that last one, time-bound, is just very practical. If your goal is going to be smart, it should have some time frame. Not just, I'm going to do this good thing at some point, but this is what I'm going to do. By next year, this is going to happen. And that means in a month, it's going to be this, and the next month, and then you can keep track and pay attention. When goals are smart, then, when plans are smart, then this promise is for you, that your plans will be established. Now, I trust that there's clarity about what the promise is. And when I started, I said there's not just a promise here, there's also a condition. And the condition is very important here. You should not imagine that just hearing and thinking, okay, well, God wants my plans to be established is what's going to make this come to be. It's not so. The condition that is put forth is very sensible and clear, and it is that you should commit your work to the Lord, and then your plans will be established. Now, I want to point out a few things it does not say. It does not say commit your plans to the Lord, and then your plans will be established. It's not like that. That, okay, I've got my ideas, they're smart, and I'm just going to say, God, this is what I want to see happen. And then you sit back and it comes to be. That's not how it works. And you might think, and some people do think this, it would be better if it was only like that. Have you ever been tempted by that idea? Why can't I just ask God and he'll make it happen? Do you know why? If God operated like that, you would grow in laziness day by day and week by week and month by month, and you would be no good for anything except for receiving and taking. And God doesn't want that. God wants you to grow, so that you are his instrument of blessing and goodness in the world. And that is a wonderful thing for you to be. So it's work. Work means the strategic application of the resources that you have over time toward a certain end. It means putting your energy and your intelligence and your imagination, all of that, your resources, your time and your money toward this goal that's there that you have decided is worthy of your work. And applying it to that, and that is the first part of the condition, but then there's a second part too. It's not just commit work, but it's commit work to the Lord. This is what it all hangs on. It would be great to have this idea that if I just work hard enough, then whatever I wish for will come to be. I wonder, is there anyone among us who's worked really hard at something, and they did the plan, it was very smart, and it didn't happen? Okay, I see a few hands, right? It would be make-believe if I stood before you and said, whenever you make a good enough plan and try hard enough, it will happen. That's not how it works, right? Have you ever wondered why not? I'm going to do this. I've never done this before. I'll never do it again. I heard a country song, and the guy was going on and on about, thank God for unanswered prayers. Has anyone else ever heard that song? I probably got the words wrong. I turned it quickly when I realized I was listening to country, but there was some wisdom there. You know, in this past year, in these past 2 years, I have had some really good plans that I worked really hard at, and they didn't come to be. I even thought I was working my very best at doing what God wanted, but they didn't come to be. This wisdom here tells me that I should be open to the possibility that my plans might seem right, but they are the kinds of plans that simply cannot be committed to the Lord. I want to be clear here. There is a quality that a plan has, an idea has, that must be in place, or otherwise it can't truly be committed to the Lord that we meet in Scripture, to God. It might not fit with his values. It might really be a thinly veiled plan for your own advancement rather than what God wants. It might be the kind of thing that pushes in another direction altogether, or maybe you really don't seek God. Listen, I want to be as concrete as I can, again, because what I desire And this is my work here as a person who speaks week after week with you and seeks to lead. It's my desire that you individually become people who plan good things and they come to be. And there are some criteria that if those are present in your plans, then they can be committed to the Lord. I want to share them with you. Before I do, one more time, I want you to think of yourself. And I want you to think now, what should I plan for? Let yourself do this for a moment. There's somebody in here, I'm going to suggest, there's somebody in here who needs to plan in this coming year to finally become a mentor for a younger Christian who seriously needs guidance. Somebody in here should make that plan. I had that written in my sermon for the first service. I forgot to say it. After the first service, someone came up to me and said, "Can you suggest an older woman who might come alongside me and help me follow?" That was a missed opportunity. But somebody in here should make that plan. Maybe more than one of you. Somebody in here should plan in this coming year to become a better parent. And that will mean concretely choosing to set aside a scheduled amount of time each week to be with your child in whatever thing interests them, even if you couldn't care less about it. To join them in that thing, to give them a sense that they matter in the world and their interests could lead to something good. Someone should plan that. Someone here should make a plan to finally stop trying to manage their addiction, whatever it is, whether it's a substance or some other problem or some secret thing that they've always tried to manage themselves. Someone in here should make a plan to finally depend on another person for that and open up and get over the shame of sharing it and find a trustworthy person to be in it with. Now, someone in here, in this very place, should make a plan to this year coming ahead to concretely finally start serving God in his community by getting involved in some mission or ministry that is very obviously working toward helping other people know Jesus. Someone in here needs to plan to talk more effectively about their faith with people who don't believe yet. Someone in here should make a plan to finally get into community and begin to connect with other people and actually not try to do life by themselves anymore. I could go on, but you should make a plan. This church altogether, Park Church, also should be a community that altogether plans. And now listen, if you have been around for a while, if you are a member in this community, if you've said this is the church I'm a part of, if you're in leadership, this is especially for you and me too. We must plan. God has put good resources into our hands. If you have been here for a while and you think everything in this church is absolutely perfect, no changes needed, you are on something. I think this church is magnificent. I do. I love it. I'm so grateful for being a part of it. But we have lots of improvement to do. And this year, we should plan for that. We should plan together how next year at this time, when Jared stands up to talk about community groups, instead of there being about 100 people who are in community groups or midweek oasis or small groups where they're growing, there'll be 200. We should plan that to double the reach that we have in helping people know Jesus and follow him together. That should be a plan that we have. Here's another one. We should plan together so that next year at this time, student ministries have got the attention and the resources and the investment that they require to be absolutely excellent, so that high school students and young adults and middle school students are begging their parents to be able to come and participate in student ministries, so that if they get punished, their parents will punish them by taking away their privilege to go to Park Church youth group. And that's not crazy to plan, but we need to plan that. I love that somebody said yes. Who said yes? There was one guy who said yes to that in the first service. I'd like to introduce you to him later on, okay? People should plan, as a church, we should plan to educate adults more effectively than we have. I think this is wonderful that we spend this time on Sunday, but I think we could even do better. I think that during the middle of the week, I have experiences that I've never really unfolded here that I think could help people learn. And I know there are others in our church who also could help teach, and that's another thing we should plan. The question for us is not, I don't believe, is not going to be whether we're willing to work at it. I know you people, and I know what's happened in the past. We're going to be willing to work. The question really all comes down to, will we effectively commit this work to the Lord? And that's what I want to, as clearly as I can, unfold for you now. What does it look like when work is committed to the Lord? And I've got these five, and I know that the bulletins today had a place for notes. So write this down if you would. and use this, set this before you as you think about the plans you should make. Here's the five qualities that I think work must have if it can be committed to the Lord. The first quality is that if it's going to be work that is committed to Him, it must be directed toward God's purposes. Okay, there's plenty of goals that we have with a purpose down there that in good conscience we could never say God would want that thing to happen. On the other hand, the kind of work that you or I could decide we're going to do can be committed to God if we can look at it and say, yes, this actually fits with God's purposes. Now, if you have no idea what God's purposes are, you're going to need to improve in that area before you can do this effectively. I'll just tell you, if you were to open the scriptures, especially the New Testament, and look at Jesus' values, you will see there the kinds of things that matter to God and the kinds of things that must matter in your plans if they meet this first criteria, if they will be able to be involved in God's purposes. Listen, God is love. Do my plans involve love concretely in the world? God wants to free the oppressed. Do my plans help somebody who's trapped? God wants to bring justice, wants to see the renewal of His creation thriving so that human beings can no longer be pressed down at every moment but experience true joy, the joy of walking in righteousness. You can ask, do my plans go in that direction or not? If you will find yourself, first of all, asking, can this plan jive with God's purpose? And don't use the word jive. That's a weird word. Can it fit? Then yes, that's the first. Here's the second. Work can be dedicated to the Lord when, and this one is so freeing, when it's empowered by God's power. This, I hope, is some freedom. Someone in here all along has been saying, oh my gosh, He keeps giving me burdens, plan, work hard. I'm already too weary. I've tried. I can't. Here is freedom. The power to achieve the work that is dedicated to God comes from God and not you. That's so freeing. I actually talked to somebody early this morning and told them, this is what I'm going to be preaching about. And actually, before saying, I said, hey, have you made some plans in this new year? Oh, yes, I did. I said, okay, what are they like? And then this person shared with me in enthusiasm, oh, I always make sure that they're so vague that when I stop doing it, I won't feel bad. And I got to share in good news with that person, as I share with you, that the power to do the work that God calls you to comes from God. And so that means what you must do is you set this plan out, and as you are anxious about whether you have the strength or not to do it, you just need to ask. That's the third criteria, by the way, of work that can be dedicated to God. It's undertaken in an attitude of prayer. They're all P. Have you noticed that there's a series here of P's? I'm really working at making things. Someone else got that, right? They follow God's purposes. What was number two? I forgot already. Power, right, thank you. Undertaken by God's power in an attitude of prayer. Work that can be dedicated to God is work that begins with you taking this vision or dream and saying, God, here's what I want to see happen. I want to get really healthy physically this year because I've been abusing this body that you gave me, and it's time for me to change that. Talking to God about it. Maybe even, this is the goal that I think I have, God, but would you help me in this silence come up with a better one? And then just be quiet and wait and listen. And if you don't hear anything, say it again. God, this is the plan that I have. If you have a better one, help me know it now. And just wait and listen. And then while you're undertaking this plan, again, work that's dedicated to God in prayer is work that while you're doing it, you are praying. As your hands are at the plow of carrying out this good plan, you're saying, God, here I am at work. I hope this is going well. Please give me the power to do it. And then after you're done, saying, God, I did the best that I could today with this plan. Help me do even better tomorrow. Prayer. That's the fourth or third. Here's the fourth. And this one also is freeing. Work that can be dedicated to God aims at God's pleasure. And this is magnificent to me. Do you know that you actually can please God? I was very anxious about this idea when I first became a theology student because I didn't want anyone to believe that they had to earn God's grace. And I still am very confident in that. None of you who've walked into this room here have to plan on how to get God to love or accept you. That's been done in Jesus Christ's death on the cross. And that's an absolutely magnificent fact. But after that is done, since He's done all that for you, now you are free to aim at God's pleasure with this good life that He's justified by His atoning death for you. You can. You can live in a way that actually causes God pleasure, and you should aim at that with your plans. And that means you should imagine Jesus Christ himself there with you. Not the Hallmark Jesus, but the Jesus that we meet in Scripture, and imagine, as you're planning, whether what you have conceived of in your mind would cause him to say, yeah, I like that, or not. And if you would do that, and if the plans that you began to really conceive of, if you could, in good conscience, knowing Jesus, see him there saying, yeah, I like that plan. That is an absolutely necessary step to being able to commit your work to him. In this moment, would you imagine, please, right now, every one of you, the youngsters here and the old people as well, imagine you doing something that would please Jesus this year, something big. Ask in this moment, pray, if this would be something that he would have you do. Do that right now. I mean, if you've come into this place because someone has invited you and you're not on board with all this faith stuff, fine. Ask in this moment, God, if this place could be an instrument that you use for good in my life in this coming year, help me see it. Be open to it. And here's the last one. All right, let's try to go through the other four to see if we got them. The first is that the work that can be dedicated to God is work which it aims at his purposes. The second is that it is empowered by his power. Thank you. You're the helper. It's done in an attitude of prayer. Yes? It aims at pleasing God. It aims at his pleasure. Here's the last one. It is done with God's people. And this last one is also good. You are not given work to do by yourself by the Lord Jesus. That's not how he works. You are not, if you come to God, the God that we meet in scriptures, and you feel this push and this challenge, which I very much hope you do, to do something good this year, and you then begin to imagine yourself doing it alone, you are not being prompted or moved or pushed by the God that we meet in the Bible. He's not like that. It's just so much better to be at work with other people who've got your back and who expect you also to have their back. People who are there with you from the start all the way through to the finish. People who are ready for you to say, here is what I think God wants me to do. And then, in all honesty, they're going to say to you, that's a great idea. Or you are out of your mind. People who are willing to be honest. People who then, once you start going down this path, are there to say, hey, do you need a hand? Because I notice you're kind of drooping. You look down and out. Can I be there for you? Can I assist you? People who are willing to put their hands to the plow alongside of you or with you. And then all along the way, others who are there to challenge you when you're becoming lazy. To say, let's go. To give you that pep talk yet again. To run right there with you. And then to celebrate with you when those plans come about. And then to gather together and say, all right, we did this. What's next? That's how God means it to work. Work that can be dedicated to the God we meet in Scripture, who gave the wisdom to this man who could share this beautiful statement with us, is work that is meant to be done together with God's people. Now, this is the work I want to challenge you with now. It is to commit this to memory. Proverbs 16:3. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. And not in some naive, well-wishing way that whatever I want, this preacher told me I'm going to get this year as long as I do some religious stuff. No. But in those five ways that you would truly commit your work to the Lord, and here's why you should do it. Because if you individually, and if I, and all of us together as a church, if we stop being people who are just disaffected with the world around us and discouraged by how bad things are, and instead of that, we look at how things should be different, and we start making plans and doing work, then God will use us individually and all together as a church to change things in the way that he means them to be changed. To commit our work together to the plans that God inspires in us would be our way of being the instrument that he wants us to be in the world. And this is my question for you. Will you join me in that? I mean it. Will you? I'm asking a real question here. Yes? If I'm glad. Some of you are like, I'm not ready to say yes yet. I appreciate your honesty, and I mean it. But I invite you, and if you choose to be here week after week, you are invited into a community that is ready to work and commit that work to God so that the plans that God gives us can be established in the world. There's nothing better than that. I want to ask you now to pray with me that what God has done in our hearts and inspired in us would be moved on to action through our time together. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this time that you've given us, for the moments that we're able to spend together in this place thinking carefully about your word. I pray that my opening of your scriptures this morning would have the result of helping each person here in the way that you mean them to. I pray that it would help them grow. I pray that some in here who are completely stuck would be dislodged by the words that I've shared and would be moved into action. I pray that those who have been discouraged would be, because of this word before them, encouraged to act and to live differently. I pray that those who have been complacent would be disturbed into action. I pray that those who are already at work would be informed even better than they had been before about how to see the plans that they have come into fruition for you. God, I want you to use me. I want you to use every person in here and this church all together to be a community that plans well, dedicates our work to you, and thereby becomes your good instrument in this world that is in such desperate need of your good work. We pray for this in Jesus' name, and we dedicate even now, we commit even now our thoughts and our aspirations and even our song to you now as we continue to worship in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen. Now, this song we're going to sing here is uniquely suited for what we've just considered. So let this song become your prayer as we continue.